every Arizona homeowner's best friend.
And it all has to do with you.
Thanks for tuning in.
It's Rosie on the House, your weekend wake-up tradition.
I talk to the tree, stop and hear what I say.
Come on around back, Arizona. Welcome to Rosie on the House. We're going to get around inside here and bring down John Eisenhower, ISA certified arborist out of the tree, branch manager at Integrity Tree Save a Tree. He's got his crew with him today, assistant branch manager Stephen Price. And then from Arid Tree Zone, we've got Mr. Kevin Salamandra, who's a leaf director. I guess that just leaves, does that make me the nut then?
There you go.
Well, yeah, that does make you the nut.
If you'd like to talk trees, join the conversation, 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. Text questions to 411-923. You can email info@rosieonthehouse if you need to snap a picture, if you need a little help with a tree identification. And we've got a tree of the month kicking us off.
Yeah, we do, and I'm so happy to have Kevin Salamandra from Arid Zone Trees joining us today, along with Stephen Price, our assistant branch manager at Save a Tree, to talk about our tree of the month, which is the Arid Zone Trees Prosopis hybrid. It's a really nice mesquite tree. Kevin, tell us a little bit more about the Arid Zone Trees hybrid mesquite that you guys cloned many years ago.
This one tree that we grow now was a selection that came out of thousands of seedlings that we grew. And what we decided to do, since the mesquite trees were like people, you had tall ones, short ones, fat ones, skinny ones. Trees are the same thing, and a lot of architects were looking for trees that had a lot of uniformity that they could use down boulevards, or in commercial projects, those things there. And through our selection process, we found this one tree that didn't really flower during the blooming time. And this time of year, during June, when the seeds are setting, there was actually no seeds that were developed from the tree. So we pulled that tree aside, looked at it. It took us about 5 years to figure out how to reproduce the tree. We did cuttings and reproduce it that way, and then introduced it to the industry. It's a really nice tree. It's really upright, a little slow growing, doesn't really spread out down to the ground like the other mesquite trees do. And the bonus is that this time of year, you're not raking up hundreds and hundreds of the seed pods that are falling down on the ground.
Yeah, it seems like mesquite trees, at any given time of year, they're dropping something. If it's not leaves, it's those little catkins, and then it's the seed pods, and the cycle starts again the next year. And which is the trade-off with every vigorous tree, trees that are putting on leaves a little more aggressively, they're growing faster. The litter that they produce is that downside. And so if you want a fast-growing tree that achieves its landscape purpose quickly in the landscape, just know that you're going to be raking more leaves. There'll be a bit more cleanup. Be sure you give those trees the room that they need to be able to spread and grow and have the ability to, not near a pool probably, or a water feature, because that's going to be a constant cleanup mess.
Well, the desert trees, what I really like about them is they really have those small little leaflets. And most of the time, that little leaflet drops down in between the stones or granite you may have in your landscape and doesn't really make too much of a mess. But the stems do drop down, and the stems, you will have to rake those up. They aren't really cleaned up very well by your pool cleaner. But the other benefit of the mesquite tree leaflet is that it actually is high in nitrogen and actually helps fortify the soil below it as well. So that's a bonus on that end of it there. But there are a lot of people, they like their landscape ultra clean, and I can understand that. I've been one that can tolerate a little bit of the trash different times a year, just because I understand the benefit of what you get from the organic matter.
Again, kind of right tree, right place. If you've got the more space for these trees that are going to be dropping some litter, then of course give them that room and let them grow. We always say it'd be nice if all of our trees could be allowed to grow to their mature height and spread without a lot of intervention on our part. If you didn't have to do all this heavy pruning, it's terrible to put a tree in place and then have to be constantly trimming it to keep it under control and to keep it the size you want it in that location. Better to have put a smaller tree that would grow up and at its mature height and spread would be at that ideal size, so you could just have a lot lighter maintenance down the road. So, Stephen, with regard to that, you know, what are some of the trees that we've come to know over the years that are kind of a little lighter on the maintenance side? Some of those kind of more slow-growing trees that aren't going to be demanding so much of your time pruning.
Yeah, that's what I was just going to mention, that one thing about the mesquite, and this mesquite in particular, like Kevin said, is that at least it's a little slower growing than usual, because normally, you know, pros and cons of the mesquite is, yeah, you get a fast shade tree. They grow extremely fast, especially if water and good drainage. So what does that mean? A little bit more maintenance, especially in the beginning, sometimes a lot more maintenance to make sure that structural pruning is done, to make sure you're growing it up properly. It has, to be able to be sustainable over time. You have to make that commitment. So that's the commitment you make to have a fast growing shade tree if you want to get that. But then now we can, like you said, talk about, well, sometimes customers, they don't want that, or they don't want as much litter. And that's when we would steer them more to something like a Southern Live Oak, Virginia.
Yeah.
Quercus virginiana.
Yeah.
And very slow growing, much more manageable, easier to maintain. Another, and that's evergreen. Another deciduous tree that's fantastic here is the pistache. So again, very slow to moderate growth. A few prunings over the young period of its life, and usually they can be very sustainable and much more easy to manage and beautiful trees.
Kevin, you mentioned the acacia annura is quite popular these days. I've noticed that tree too, a little slower growing and achieving its landscape purpose. But again, once it gets established, they're just an awesome tree.
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's bulletproof, but it's a very, really nice, clean, well, mostly clean tree. When it blooms, the seed pods come down. The experience I had growing it in the nursery, our first years, we used to have them in the field. And one Monday morning, I came driving into the nursery, and from far away, I saw it looked like these dead trees, a long line of them. And what it actually was the seed pods were drying up on the trees.
Yes.
Scared the heck out of me.
Me
and then
too.
I realized that, oh, no, the tree's yes. Okay. And we cleaned it up. Yeah, you can actually take a rake and knock them all down and rake it all up all at once, and it's just a kind of a one-time maintenance routine.
And they're a little paper thin. They come right off the tree. Really,
yeah, you're down the road again. Yeah.
Kevin, I want you to take a minute to explain your nursery, because not only is it the place to go if you're looking for desert plant landscape, but if you're looking to build a house and you're questioning whether or not you should do silly sticks and stucco or masonry, y'all's building is the perfect example of how to build in the desert.
We actually built it and was designed just for that purpose. It was a marketing piece. We wanted to show people what you could do here in the desert, whether it was an office or a house, and the landscaping kind of fit right in there as well. The landscape architect was John Douglas. He's a local architect, does a lot of commercial and residential work, and he's a native, and he's very sensitive to the desert and the environment. This design is more like a Frank Lloyd Wright building. It's all block. It's concrete filled. And we used to have an airport or an air base. And so the reason why we made it soundproof, so to speak, was because when the jets would fly by, we couldn't hear. and by building the building that way, it actually made it really soundproof, and we could actually sit in the office and not really hear the jets come flying by. Now it's a commercial airport, and it's much quieter as things go on. But again, the whole landscape end of it, Steve Martuna was the one who did the initial design, and we actually followed that by putting all the trees in there. And again, he's very sensitive to the desert, enjoys the plant life that's very native or can be introduced to our native environment. And the benefit of this plant material, I always felt, was this was farmland. And by bringing all these plants in here, now we have all the butterflies, we have all the birds, we have javelina that run through there, we have coyotes, we have rabbits, just all the wildlife, which I enjoy looking out my window during the day and taking a break and being able to take on the opportunity to look in this beautiful landscape and look into the north, seeing four peaks, and in between that our nursery and all, which is a great environment.
And where are you located? What part of town?
We're in Southeast Mesa. Basically, across the street is Queen Creek, and we're just on the north side. It's a little bit east of Ellsworth on Germain Road. It's down towards Eastmark. Was it housing development that's kind of new in that part of the area? And then we're also east of Williams Gateway Airport is where it is. We're a wholesale nursery, do a lot of work with a lot of contractors, architects, and developers. We do have some retail nurseries that do get our plant material. One is Desert Horizon Nursery there in Queen Creek and just in the corner of Mesa. And the other one's on the west side of town, which is Elgin Tree Farm. And they can order trees from our nursery if you'd like. We have a website, too, you can use, and it'll show you more. It's more about information than selling. So it'll tell you a lot about our trees that we grow or desert trees that are available or may be available. And there is a list there that can show you what we currently have in production as well.
So. Yeah, your website is a wealth of information. I've used it as a resource over the years. I love your articles on the different tree species and varieties. And yeah, it's a go-to website.
That's what it's all about. It's all about information. We were there to try to educate everybody.
And what's the website?
It's www.aridzonetrees.com. Very simple.
Aridzonetrees.com.
Right, yeah. Right. Dr. Ed Mulrain and I, we've worked together for decades creating these articles, and it's been a lot of fun putting the website together for everybody.
And the landscape showroom, if an individual wanted to do that, can they schedule a time? Is it open to the public to walk if you're looking for a desert tree selection, or do you have to schedule that with a landscaper, contractor, architect you're working with?
Because we're a wholesale nursery, we work directly with landscape contractors and architects. So if you have a maintenance guy or an architect or a contractor, you could contact them and they could take you out to our nursery and we can kind of show you around with them and they can answer questions that I can't answer in regards to your logistics, in regards to your house or your commercial project.
We're talking trees, 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. When the auto attendant answers, just hit number one, bypass the message, it'll put you straight in the studio.